The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To download this series of shiurim, as well as hundreds of other recorded shiurim, articles, and video presentations, please visit thehalachacenter.org.
Chulin Daf Tavi Dalid. The Gemara and this Daf Mesachta Chulin primarily discusses the halachas of Geneva's Das, which is deceiving another person. Most of these halachas that are brought down on this Daf are actually brought in Shulchan Aruch as a psak halacha. In other words, this is the practical halacha that we must follow. As such, I would like to show you, read the text of Shulchan Aruch, how he discusses these halachas, and then, as we go through it, or perhaps when we finish going through the words of Shulchan Aruch, point out a few ha'aris to give us a better understanding of these halachas and to show also a very practical nafkamina from these halachas. The Shulchan Aruch in Chayshe Mishpat, Simen Reish Chavchas, Sivov, and Zayin have these halachas of Gnevas Das that we find on our daf. And the Shulchan Aruch says like this, also, l'ramos b'nei adam, it is prohibited to trick people v'megach u'memkar, with making sales, v'lignav daitam, or any other way of deceiving them. Kigoyin v'yashimun v'mikchay, for example, if there is a blemish, a defect in the item he's selling, tzorach li'odia l'lekeach, he must reveal this to the buyer. V'afim u'goy, and even if the buyer is a Gentile, he cannot sell a piece of meat that is killed without shechita, as if it's one that was shechted. First, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned that you can't deceive others when it comes to business relations. You can't sell something deceiving the buyer that it is something that it isn't. Such a case relates to causing another to have a loss of money, a monetary loss. The Shulchan Aruch continues, which those of us that study the Daf know this already from the Daf. This is just the way Shulchan Aruch puts it down. How he breaks it down, that it's step by step. Then not only is it prohibited to deceive others in ways that cause them a loss of money, but even it's even prohibited to deceive others b'dvarim shemar sh'oisa b'shvila b'na'oisa aser. Even if he's just trying to show them that he's doing them a favor, and really he's not trying to do them a favor or isn't doing them a favor at all, that's also, it's also prohibited. Ketad, for example. Lo yisarev imoy sheyisag imoy, v'hu yadea she'en yisayed. He should not try to convince his friend that his friend should have a meal by him, and really, he knows he has absolutely no intention of inviting his friend. He knows his friend won't come anyways. And he's just trying to show his friend that he cares about his friend more than he really deep down cares about his friend. The idea behind this kind of Gneivas Das is that you're deceiving him that you're doing him a favor. And since in essence you're not doing him a favor, he will try to repay you for that favor. He'll thank you, repay you, want to do you a favor back for for the fact that you are trying to do him a favor, which we are in essence, you were never attempting to do him any favor. You were only fooling him all along. Now the Sma says, based on Rashi, that the prohibition is to convince him. To do more than the basic inviting. In other words, says this man, if you'll just tell him once, I invite you, maybe you want to come over, so that very often could be just plain simple courtesy. That even if it's just a way of talking nice to another person, it's a courteous way of talking, that you invite somebody, even though you know they're not going to come over. For example, if you see a cousin that's there from out of town, you know for sure he's not coming to you, but you invite him anyways. It's just a way of showing that you have interest in him and you care about him, you want to have a yachas with him, even though it's just a play on words, because you both know that it's not going to happen. You both know he's not going to come over to you. Nevertheless, a one-time invitation is considered plain, simple, being courteous. And that's normal and accepted. It's not fooling anyone. It's correct. It's proper. The problem over here is only when he asks more than once. He begs him. He makes it as if it's real, not just that regular courteous invitation. Similarly, you should not go ahead and offer him many presents, and you know he's somebody that declines getting presents. When you do have a guest over, and in those days they had barrels, and if it would be a barrel of wine, the metzius was that if the barrel was opened, once it's opened, it would spoil, it would become vinegar. And one would not open a new barrel unless they had what to do with it to finish up the rest, or that they were willing to suffer some sort of loss. They may have to sell it cheaper so that they can get rid of it fast. So if somebody has a guest and they have a closed barrel and they're going to open up a new barrel, and the reason why they're opening up the new barrel is really because they already sold the barrel, they already sold most of the barrel, they already have a customer who's going to buy the barrel. Meanwhile, the one who's his guest is going to think that he's opening up the barrel special in his honor, even though he's going to suffer a loss. In other words, the guest not realizing that really he has a customer already who's going to buy the rest of the barrel. So he thinks that the host is bound to suffer some sort of loss and is opening up and just for the honor of the guest. Therefore, the host must notify the guest. He's not opening it up for the guest. It's really that he has another buyer. And otherwise he would be in violation of the Isser of Gneva's Das. However, if it's something that the recipient should have known that he's not doing it just for him. The recipient is tricking himself. The recipient is fooling himself that the donor, the giver, is doing it for the benefit of the recipient. For example, we had this case in the Gemara. He met his friend Baderech on the way. He's going on the road. He met his friend. His friend thinks that he went out to greet him. Now he's fooling himself. Why should he think that I went out to greet him? In such cases, I don't have to tell him that I didn't do it for you. Such cases, he can just be quiet and not say anything. That is the Mechaber Sif Vav. Sif Zayin, the Mechaber says, person should not go over to his friend and say, you know, you can smear yourself from the oil I have in my barrel, this jug, and in those days the standard jug was not see-through, and really he had an empty jug and he knew his friend wouldn't take from it, so he said, you know, you can pour yourself some from mine. He knew his friend's not going to take, and his friend actually didn't take, but he made himself look like he's generous, and really he wasn't. Similarly, he should not go to Beis Avil like offering food or drink, and really he's holding an empty keli, and he's just making it look like he's offering, and really he's not offering. However, if he does it to give the Avil Kavod, he's trying to show that he wants other people to see that this person is dear to him, so then it is permitted. So basically, you should be familiar with all these halachas of Yehan HaShulchan Aruch, because they came straight out of the Gemara. Now the first discussion we should have is, what is this prohibition of Gneivas Das, of deceiving others? Is it Doiraiso? Is it a biblical prohibition? Or is it Midrabbanan, is it only rabbinic? And if it is biblical, if it is Midrabbanan, so then what is or is it? So we find that the smack, Yisrael Samech Aleph, Yisrael Samech Beis, says that Gneivas Das is something that's only Asr Midrabbanan, only prohibited rabbinically. Rashi in Chulin Daf Tzadik Dalei Adaf is also mashma like that. The Shulchan Aruch Rav also says like that. Aruch HaTzadikim also says like that. However, the Ritva on Adaf says that the Issa of Gneivas Das, according to some Rishonim, is the Issa Doraisa. And it's learned out of the Pasuk Lo Yisignoivu. That the Torah said Lo Yisignoivu Stam, it came to be Koilu Gneivas everything. The Kiryas Sefer in Hilchos Mechira also says that Gneivas Das is also Midaraiso. And the Yireim is also Mevur that he holds that Gneivas Das is also Midaraiso. So we have in Machloikis HaRishonim, if the Issa of Gneivas Das, the Issa of deceiving others, is the Issa Daraiso or Issa Darabona. That's one. Two is we have two halachis that we mentioned in the Sif and Shulchan Aruch, which are both based off of our Gemara, that seem to contradict each other. One, we have a Gemara and Shulchan Aruch that say that you can't open up a barrel. If someone has a guest, they should not open up a barrel when really the contents, most of the contents were sold already or has a buyer already, and offer, and the guest will think that he opened it up in honor of the guest. That's one halacha. Now, why don't I say over there the same as what we say in another halacha? The Gemara says that a whole story, which is the source for what Shulchan Aruch says, that there's a whole story with Marzutri B'Reidi of Nachmin, who was going from Sichra to Bei Mechuzo, and Rove and Efsafra were going the opposite direction. They were going to Sichra. So Marzut Reid of Nachmin was leaving Sichra, and Rove and Efsafra were coming to Sichra. And on the road they met each other. And Marzut Reid of Nachmin thought that Rove and Efsafra were coming to in order to greet Marzut Reid of Nachmin. And he went and he said, why did you have to be matriarch for us? So Safra answered to him, in truth, we didn't know you're coming. If we would have known, we would have been teriach even more. And on that, Rava said to Safra, why did you spoil it? You could have kept your mouth shut. Why did you have to tell him that we weren't going to greet him? Since he, you made him feel bad. You should have kept your mouth quiet because you made him feel bad. So he asked him why we should be obligated to say it. So he said, no. Since he fooled himself, so we're not obligated to tell. So in this Gemara it says that since the recipient fooled himself, we're not obligated to tell. By the case of Chavios, the Gemara is mevur that what? That it's a problem. We should say he fooled himself. When I open up barrels, and really there's another, if the host opens up barrels, and really there's a, it's not because of the guest, really it's because he has buyers. So we should say that the guest fooled himself. Why in the case of barrels do I say it's prohibited, and I don't say the guest fooled himself? And when they went out to greet each other, I say, well, he fooled himself. So the Rishonim deal with this question. And the Rosh gives an answer and he says that it depends on the situation. In the case of barrels, the assumption is, the norm is that somebody doesn't have a buyer. The situation in front of seems to be obvious. It would not be assumed that somebody has a buyer. There's no good reason why the guest would have to assume that he has a buyer. Whereas in the case of Mazutro, B'Reidi of Nachman, and of Safran of Pa, and Rove, there's no reason he should assume that he went out to greet them. Why in the world should Marzut Reid of Nachman think that Rav and Safra knew that Marzut Reid of Nachman is coming? It was a very odd thing that Marzut Reid of Nachman thought that they were intending for him. So the svara of Rav, why he wasn't obligated to say anything, is because why in the world are you thinking that we're going for your purposes? It was a total mistake irrational, so to say, logic on the side of Masut Rebbe of Nachman. And that's why they weren't obligated to say. That's how the Rosh explains. The Ran, though, explains in a different, seemingly from the Ran, it seems like there's a different shot. The Ran says that the case of barrels, the host was like intending to, he's like trying to show him, he was mechavin, that the guest should be fooled. Whereas Rav and Efsafra, they were just going on their way. They didn't do anything to make Masur Tribeid of Nachman think that they were going to greet him. So in other words, there's a big nafkemino here between the way the Rosh learns and the way the Ran learns. According to the Rosh, even if the donor, so to say, had absolutely no intention to fool the recipient, nevertheless, if the recipient has good reason to believe that he is being, having a favor done for him, then a person is obligated to tell the recipient, the donor is obligated to tell the recipient that no, I was not necessarily intending for you. Even though the donor had no intention, was not trying to fool or impress or anything the recipient. Whereas according to the Ran, even if the situation is obvious, leaning and obvious and would seem obvious to the recipient, that the reason why the donor did it was for the recipient, nevertheless, if he had no intention of helping the recipient, the donor could keep his mouth quiet and doesn't have to tell the recipient that you should know, no, it was not on your behalf. There are many poskim that seem to follow the opinion of the Rosh, who is the more bigger machmir over here, and so would seem the halacha that one would have to fear zich. And therefore, in a practical case, in a practical level, if let's say there are two neighbors and suppose they both live in Lakewood, the neighbors live in Lakewood, and or some other city in the tri-state area near New York, and one of the two neighbors had a chasna, one of their children got married in Brooklyn in New York, and the neighbor, friend of the father of the chasna, came and attended the chasna, and his neighbor thanks him so much for coming, for schlepping all the way from Lakewood or whichever town it is, all the way to New York for the chasana. Meanwhile, the one that came and attended the chasana, his main reason for being in New York was to take care of some business, some other thing that he had to do. And once he was there, it worked out, so he went to the chasana. So the question would be, would he be obligated to tell his neighbor, you should know, I didn't come all the way from my town, our town, to the chasana, special to New York for the chasana, I was here anyways. So the truth is like this. The truth is that in this case, from like Lakewood to New York, or Muncie to New York, that there could be a million reasons. It's very easy, no matter whether you're going to learn like the Rosh or whether you're going to learn like the Ran, he would be exempt from telling him why he came. Why in the world are you assuming that your neighbor came in only for the chasana? It's so logical that he came in for any other reason. So that would be an answer, even according to the Rosh, why there's no Gnevas Das. And therefore he does not have to say anything. And in fact, from the Gemara, it's mashma, better not to say anything. If he thinks that you came in special for his chasana, let him think so. As long as you don't intend to deceive him, you don't do anything to make it sound like you came in, you definitely cannot say, oh, I came in special for you. That would definitely be Gnevas Das. But if he assumes, you go over and you say Mazel Tov to him, and he assumes that you came in all the way from Lakewood or Muncie, special for his chasana, that is his problem, that's his fault, that he's making such a false assumption, and you don't have to correct it. And you shouldn't correct it. Let him think, if you are, you would actually come in, maybe, perhaps, you're very happy to be there, you are not obligated to correct his mistake. As long as you don't do anything positively to fool him, deceive him. However, let's take this case and extend it to, again, the same two neighbors that live in Lakewood or Muncie, wherever it is, and one of the two made a chasana in Houston, Texas. And the neighbor happened to have had, he doesn't usually have any business relations or things to take care of in Houston, Texas. It happened to have been that night he had something to take care of in Houston, Texas, and he happened to have been visiting Houston, Texas, And because of that, of course, his neighbor is having a chasana, so he stops in by the chasana and he wishes him mazel tov and he dances with him and gives him a big mazel tov a big hug. So his friend assumes, why else would my neighbor be in Houston, Texas? He has no idea why so anyone should be in Houston, Texas, or hard to imagine he has any other reason to be in Houston, Texas, other than to be, the most logical assumption is that he came to Houston, Texas for his friend's chasana. So he didn't realize that his friend, his neighbor, really felt so close, but apparently he does. So he thanks him extensively, and now he feels obligated. Next time he makes a simcha, he will have to definitely go from Lakewood to Brooklyn, or at least that far he'll have to go, even if it won't be Houston, Texas, but he'll have to go definitely some distance out of the way to repay him this favor. In this case, if he will keep his mouth shut and not say anything, it will be dependent on the machlokes, the Rosh and the Ran. According to the Ran, as long as he doesn't intend to fool his friend, it's permitted and he doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to tell him that I was here in Houston, Texas anyways. According to the Rosh, which seems to be the halacha, one would be obligated to tell his friend, you should know, I'm here by the chasana, I'm happy to be here by the chasana, but I was not in Houston, Texas just for the chasana. I really had some other work, and in order that he shouldn't be in violation of Gneivas Das, he would be obligated to say this. When his friend tells him, at the time his friend tells him, thank you so much for schlepping in from Lakewood, he would have to answer back, I'm sorry, what he can say, as what I've heard from Reb Dave Kahn, a dying in the Bezdin Meshorim in Lakewood, he recommended you someone could use such a nusach that, it's nice, I'm so happy that it worked out that I can attend your chasana here in Houston, but my reason for coming to Houston happened to have been another. If you look in the Sefer Shalmei Moed, it brings down a story of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livrach. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach once was in a town in Eretz Yisrael, out of Yerushalayim, where he usually isn't, for the purpose of one chasana. It happened to have been, there was another chasana also in that town. So he figured once he's there in that town, he'll stop by. So he went and he stopped by, and the other person thanked him so much for coming to this chasana, and he told him, you should know, I'm very happy to come. I'm very happy I could be here. But I'm just telling you that I didn't come in special. You should know I didn't travel in special. It's only I travel in special. You don't have to thank me extensively. I didn't come in special. I was here anyways. So there was another Yid, Tamil Chacham, there with Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he was very impressed from Reb Shlomo Zalman's honesty. And he told Reb Shlomo Zalman, it's very impressive that the Rav went out of his way. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told him, I'm not sure what you're so surprised about. The way I'm answering is because every Yid is obligated to answer like that, like it's Mefurish in the Gemara, in Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalet, like this Gemara that we learned, which is like the way we were explaining, that if it would seem that one was not there in that town, in that place, only because, if the most logical assumption would be that one is only there because of the Chasana, then one would be obligated to tell the recipient that it was not because it was not on his behalf, although you're happy that it worked out, but it was not on his behalf that you came and attended.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8255. 1-800-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.